Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For Ream Hot Water, we are Triple M Footy.
And welcome to the Sunday match of the day. We're live at Bankwest Stadium. It's West's Tigers versus Parramatta coming up in about an hour. Currently, halftime in Gosford. You wouldn't call it an upset alert just yet, but you'd be a little worried if you were a Roosters fan. It's the Cowboys 6, Sydney Roosters 0, and the bits and pieces I've seen, that's a fair indication. The Cowboys have been the better team. The Roosters really cumbersome in attack, so hasn't quite happened for them yet. Cowboys leading 6 points to nil there. Here we're about an hour away from kickoff, and as the boys have been talking about, there is a third game today, and that is the Dragons and the Canberra Raiders. That'll be covered on the Triple M NRL Network, and if your particular station doesn't take that call, of course you can get it on the Triple M NRL app, which I know many people are listening to right now. We've got Gerds, we've got Gordon Tallis, we've got Dan. We haven't been together for a while. Hello, gents.
Welcome back, Dan. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You good?
Just almost...
Still a little bit jet-lagged?
Well, a little bit. I had an okay night's sleep last night, think I'm just getting back into
it. He went to 8 and woke up at 4 and he's complaining.
Yeah, but it's bad sleep, Gordy.
How is it bad sleep?
It's bad because I'm waking up every hour and a half, every 2 hours.
What about the cricket tonight? That'll probably keep you up as well. Are you going to watch the final or not?
I'll try, but it's England-New Zealand. And the Wimbledon final as
Who
well.
Who do you go for out of England-New Zealand?
Oh, what a question.
Oh, you go for New Zealand.
Of course you go for the Kiwis.
Okay, no, just checking.
Now, Dan didn't know then.
Of course you go for the Kiwis. Well, I got in trouble a few years ago because Australia played New Zealand in the World Cup final in Melbourne. I said, I wouldn't be that disappointed if the Kiwis. Well, I said that on the old Dead Set Legends. God, I got hammered for that. Because they're full of good blokes. They seem like a nice bunch of fellas.
Okay.
And England.
Are they a chance, the Kiwis? Do you think they can do it? They're in good form, aren't they, the Poms?
England look like they've...
Are you allowed to call them the Poms? Or do people get upset at that?
Some do.
The English.
Nah, the Poms, I think. You can't call Pakistani the Pakis.
Okay.
That one's a no-no.
Okay.
I think you can call them that here, but you certainly can't call them that in England. It's a term of derision over there, so it's probably just best to...
Pakistan.
Geez, we're getting back into that sledging conversation, what's okay and what's not. You were talking about that earlier, because there's... something that was said, Josh McGuire to Blake Ferguson, apparently this is of a personal nature and it's so bad it can't be made public. I do remember when, remember the Wayne Carey incident and he slept with, you know, his teammate's missus and then he came back for the Adelaide Crows and Shane Warne was on the Melbourne Footy Show. He was a panellist on that night and they were going to play Adelaide and North Melbourne on the Friday. And they said, you know, Warney, you're the master, you know, sledger and great at the mind games. What would you do if you're Wayne Carey? He said, I would use it. I would mention it at any opportunity to get into Stephen's head and everyone else's head. So,
brutal.
Fair game for Warney.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the big news, as was broken earlier, Garth Brennan has been relieved of his duties at the Titans. And this is interesting. We've got some further news. So Jimmy Hooper got the original story, and now Brent Reed, you've got a development here. Hello to you, Reedy.
Hello, guys. We actually just spoke to Kevin. He's just down the Fox, the league box, obviously calling the game day, about three boxes down. He just said he's out of the running. He's not interested. He wants to coach, concentrate on Queensland and turning them around next year. So we can put a line through Kevin Walters now for the Gold Coast job.
Wow. What do you think that is, Gordy? I mean, I'm sorry, that's a personal question. Maybe you don't want to reveal, but why do you think Kevy doesn't want that job? There's only 16 of these NRL gigs, and he's missed out a few times.
Oh, I think he's got a great job coaching Queensland. I think probably what happened at Brisbane, you know, everybody throws Kevy's name up now. You know, it's like every player coming off contracts going to the Roosters. You know, it's one of those bargaining tools that they use, and I suppose if Titans want him, they'll go get him. I mean, I don't agree with going and sitting there and saying this is what I'm going to do and having a PowerPoint presentation to be a coach. Because if you wanted a PowerPoint presentation, I don't think Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett would run in the top 2 out of the 16.
Gordie, he was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, because
that was Matthew a great story. Went, was it you that told it? That, oh, was it you? You who told the story? That
well, Bellamy, Matthew, no. Well, Bellamy walked out, and they told him he had the job, and then Matthew Elliott go, oh, well, we got to give this guy a go.
This is a Canberra, about yeah. 15, 20
and then
years
they
ago.
Gave Matthew Elliott, you know, just the respect to come in and do his. And then they were just wooed by it. And Gordie, rang up Craig Bellamy and said, sorry, mate, you don't have the job.
Kevy was pretty emphatic there that he wouldn't change his mind, that he's committed to Queensland. He wants to turn around. He enjoys his Fox League duty.
Yeah, and he does.
He's not interested. So
personally, if I was giving Kevy advice, I'm very loyal to the Titans, and they've got a, I'm really close to the directors and the owners, and they're really good business people are trying to do the right thing for the Gold Coast community, and it's very hard to get a successful basketball's try, the AFL's try. AFL throw, I think, up to $20 million more dollars at the Suns every year.
Yep. And the Lions.
Trying to beat us, and, you know, and it's a neck and neck race. So, yep. Like, mate, what they do in the community is really good. But if I was giving Kevy advice, I'd say you're coaching Queensland and you're working at Fox Sports. And you can work on Triple M. Like, there's easier ways.
It's a pretty good life.
There's easier ways to make money. Mate, if they said, Gordon, you want to coach Queensland for 6 weeks and work, I'd say absolutely.
Oh.
Would you say
we should have thrown your name in the mix a week ago.
Did you see Fatty put his hand out?
He did it
in the most respectful manner. He said, listen, there's 100 coaches better than me. I'm not saying I deserve it, but if they needed help, I'd love to do it. What a great gig it would be.
What does that mean now, Reddy? Who do you think the focus will turn to?
Well, there's three names that keep getting thrown up, and those three are Justin Holbrook, who's coaching at St. Helens, and the two Roosters assistants, Adam O'Brien and Craig Fitzgibbon. Now, I think they need to find a winner, and those blokes know how to win.
So all young coaches. So there's not anyone with experience coaches. that you would think
well,
that they would speak
who
to.
Who is there, Gert? Anthony Griffin, Trent Barrett. You know, they've been sacked elsewhere or quit. I mean, do you want to go down that path?
Well, there was talk of Tim Sheens, possibly.
Yeah, and I think that was just more as an interim, potentially.
Is Mel interested in the job as well?
I don't think so. I don't think Mel wants to be. He's got his Australian duties. I don't think he could, Mel. Mm. So, you know, I think one of the issues they're going to have is actually trying to convince someone to come and take the job, to be honest. I know.
Is there anyone at another club that's, you know, they might go and try to speak to, you know, break their current arrangement?
Well, the one interesting one would be Shane Flanagan, but I don't think he'd be allowed back next year. So that would be an issue. But
hang on, what is the sense? Flanagan is currently banned, but there is a sense that once he serves a penance.
Yeah, but I think that penance will be more than 12 months, Dan.
Okay, so it'll be a couple of years. Because there's that theory that he'll be Canterbury's coach in 2 years, whether that's true or not.
Well, interesting one, Justin Holbrook's been linked with Canterbury as well. So, you know, if the Titans decide they might want to pursue Justin Holbrook, maybe that forces Canterbury's hand if they decide that they don't want to press forward with Dean Pay. So there could be a real domino effect out there.
They'll make the right decision, but they need an identity. You know what I mean? Like, the Broncos are the Broncos, and it's Queensland, and you know it's that, and the Cowboys are the Cowboys, you know it's North Queensland. Well, the Gold Coast has sort of been a transit lounge. So they got to make it, you know, make someone really want to own them, and it's got to be the community. So if I was there, I think you get a big name Queenslander. And then that was my thought when I was on the.
Who is it though, Gordy?
You find one.
Paul Green?
I think he's got his hands full up in North Queensland.
Maybe he's
early into a 5-year deal, isn't he?
No, it's not five. Is it? I think it's only three.
You know, mate. You know what? There's Kevy Wilders is there. There's Nathan Brown. Simply what he's done at Newcastle.
He's got a very flexible contract there too, Nathan Brown.
You can make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah. You know, and Nathan Brown has shown at Newcastle that he can attract the big players. He had Vision and Ponga when everybody went well, and then Mitchell Pearce and getting those guys there and turning the club around, and they're having a red-hot go.
You know Nathan pretty well. I mean, he's just got that roster just about to where he wants it. Why would he walk out on it?
Well, he hasn't got a contract already.
Well, he's got a contract, but it's just a very...
He's on full-time staff. He's not even...
He still has a contract, though. I mean, they've just got loose terms around...
They can end it at any time. He can end it at any time.
Yeah. Well, if he's smart, he'll use this right now to either get himself a secure deal or move to the Gold Coast. Well, there's options.
Okay.
Nathan, and you're right, Nathan's built Newcastle to a spot where I think that they can go deep into the finals. I think that if they get everybody right, and you know, so now they've got two State of Origin front rowers, you know, and they got Ramey and they're starting to hit his form. They got the outside backs, Kenny Dow. You know, you got Watson. Ponga's going to come back in. They got a Watson that when he played hooker on three occasions, I think they beat Roosters and South and stumbled against Melbourne, but they were tied, you know, taking on the three big heavyweights. But I'm pretty sure that they walked away from Melbourne going, well, geez, I'd like another crack at those guys. So he's got this club to a point where they might, you know,
but it's
go deep.
Okay, it's interesting you bring up Brown. He did something. I'd be fascinated if the Titans would accept this, whoever the coach is. He basically cleared the decks and said, we are going to be useless for 2 or 3 years while we rebuild. Our list is so poor. And you look at that Titans list, and there are players, Ash Taylor, Bryce Cartwright, Leilani Latu, on ridiculous amounts of money. That looks like the sort of list that needs a clean out. Gordy, do you think, you know, the owners, obviously, you're very close to them, you're part of the club. Do you think if a coach came in and said, listen, if we're going to be fed income, we've got to have another 2 years of pain before we have any sort of success. Do you think your friends who run the club would accept that sort of attitude?
You just want to win. You just want to see improvement. And from when Garth got there to now, probably there hasn't been a lot of improvement. So it's about seeing baby steps forward or some traction of your club and your roster moving forward and kids improving. And I don't think that we've witness that.
I think they're only 1 year away from being able to clean that. I think they've got one more year where they're stuck with some pretty bad contracts. The Latu one, he's only got a year to go. And then I think they've got a bit of room to move.
And it's not just the owners. You've got to think about the community up there too. They've been suffering. I mean, you know, are they going to allow another 2 years before they buy back in?
This is a unique market. You can't be a... Yeah. We don't want to be a bad team in a fledgling market.
They're not Newcastle.
No. And they are rusted on. Look, the fans are on the Gold Coast because I go there on holiday a lot. And, you know, when you go for a walk along the promenade or whatever, you see a lot of Souths or Raiders or shorts, Penrith shorts or hats. So you see a lot of NRL gear walking along. But there's Souths and Canberra and all these support. If you think that Gold Coast can be successful, they'll go, I'm going to go out there and watch this side because they're playing good. So they need to win to get all those fans that are there, that are rugby league fans, but would rather sit at home and watch their side play on TV instead of going and watching a game of rugby league. So they're there. We just got to attract them by winning games.
You guys had an interesting conversation earlier, and you sort of said, look at that list. How do they play? What do they stand for? What does a Gold Coast Titans team, apart from winning, cures pretty much all, but should they be the razzle-dazzle team? Should they be the team that bashes other teams? You know what I mean? Is there a certain identity they should be chasing?
The Joy Arrow, the one that goes out, plays against Cronulla against a tough forward pack that has 30 carries, makes 300 metres and won't let his teammate down. That's how you build your club. You build it on effort, and then you try to get the blokes
a little Maroons-esque attitude.
And then you get the guys like the AJ Brimson and those guys that have a bit more skill and come in, and they want to play at an organisation because they got these guys that work really hard. And then they will defend their mistakes, and you get those flashy players that come and they work really hard, and that's the standard of your footy side. So my standard would be those two. I really like AJ. He's earning his craft. I don't think he's getting too much help. And Joy Arrow, just watching him, like he put a shot on Clemmer, you know, before Origin. He's a small body going up there against the biggest front rower in the game. So that attitude, that willing to win, that's where you build.
They've got to build the club around those two guys. They have to.
Yeah.
What do we know about Holbrook? Has he had success, good success at St Helens?
He's killing it over there, Dan. He's killing it. And they're actually trying to extend him right now, and he's holding out because obviously the sense is that he wants to come home. He wants to come back to Australia. The club's desperate.
Where did he do a tour?
He was at Canterbury, I think, for a while. He was at Parramatta for a while, actually. So the St Helens are desperate.
He hasn't won a comp here. Like, he hasn't been in a system that's been really successful here.
But it's a bit like the Trent Robinson formula, Gordy, that, you know, he's had success in England, and the idea is that maybe, you know, speak to people about him, they'll tell you he's going to be a really good NRL coach.
The coaches are funny because Garth was really successful at junior, like, at that young level. You know, like in Newcastle, he was successful. You go to Penrith, he was winning comps, and, yeah, he was the next bright coach that maybe even got the Penrith job, you know, when they had Griffin. So
it was funny. I actually spent, he came out and played for Penrith for a while, Justin. Probably, I don't know, maybe late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, played, I don't know, maybe half a year, maybe in first grade and was, you know, one of the leaders in our, reserve grade team at the time. He went out and bought a restaurant out there, you know, and I think this time he was early 20s, You know, he went out and he bought and he ran and he managed as well as playing.
Very mature.
A restaurant. So he was just, I mean, none of us were thinking anything like that. You know, I mean, when you're in your early 20s and you're going, you're focused on your career and you're just out there having fun.
You'd have been there for a free feed though, wouldn't you, Gerd?
Well, he didn't. And that's the thing, you know, he never gave us one.
Oh, a bit like your coffee
shop. Oh, that's where you learn.
He taught me everything I know. But, you know, it just goes to show his mentality back then, you know, was thinking about, you know, other parts of his career moving forward at an early age. And I think, you know, it just showed probably that he's got the ability to, you know, manage certain situations, and he had staff there and he just taught himself young, and he's always been a great fella. And obviously doing good things now as a coach.
By the way, I was at a thing last night, I had a good chat with Freddie, and he and Marie have opened a cafe near you.
Yeah.
It's competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anytime Reedy comes in now all the time because he gets 10% off there where you don't
get there once.
That'd be right. You'd stick out a discount, Reed, wouldn't you?
He gave me nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, might have given me a free coffee. I don't know.
Anyway, let's not give him any airtime.
All right. Roger Aldridge from ladbrokes.com.au is on the line. Hello, Rog.
Hello, gang. How are you?
Good. We got a good one today. We know how devastating Parramatta can be here. It's actually a Tigers home game. But it seems evenly matched. How's the market shaping?
Yeah, money about 2-1 in favour of the Eels. Of course, they dropped the 50-odd on them last time. But $1.70 Parramatta, West Tigers $2.14. Probably attracting more interest than what we thought. But the line at 2.5 points.
Well, we've got some real try scorers out there this afternoon. Rog, Mike Osivo obviously leading the way for the NRL at the moment. What's he paying, and is he expected to post early points?
Yeah, he's always really well backed. $8.50 and the shortest way home, along with Blake Ferguson, also at $8.50. Clint Gutherson is the next in line from the Eels at $13. The one that's actually attracting some interest, $26, Ryan Madison. So Madison is actually our worst result from a first try perspective. Obviously, at the bigger odds has an impact there, but yeah.
Can sniff out a try.
And am I hearing this properly? Is there an origin margin up already?
Of course there is.
Well, for next year, we're not even knowing what teams there. Players.
Well, one will be New South Wales, one will be Queensland.
No players.
Yeah, it was fairly straightforward working out who was going to play. But yeah, obviously the boys put it up just for you guys, actually. $2.60 Queensland, $1.50 New South Wales to defend it.
So you can already start your underdog. We're the underdogs. We're the underdogs, Gordy.
Well, we are.
You are actually genuinely our next
year
because...
We run a bit of Holden Barina out against the Ferrari and our league points. Well, don't you start chirping
because
too
next
early,
year,
brother.
No, I'm not chirping.
Because if we would have won, you would have had to change your name to the Waratahs.
No one will remember what car you drove, Gordon. We only remember the result, brother.
I think next year's series, they haven't announced it yet because they got to work out when they're doing Adelaide. But Adelaide will be game one or game two, probably game two. And Sydney likely to be game one or game two because it got the potential dead rubber this time. So they're going to be up against the Queensland just from a where the games are played basis. You don't get your game until...
No, Adelaide hate you guys as well.
All right. Okay. All right. It's ladbrokes.com.au. They've got plenty of markets there. Back yourself, but please gamble responsibly. And you can get on for the Dragons Raiders later tonight. See you, Rog.
Thanks, guys.
All right, this is Triple M Footy. We're doing it live from Bankwest Stadium in the early game. Wentworthville leading Western Suburbs 26-10. God, it's unusual seeing Tim Manor running around in an early game. We'll be back with more after this, including, in case you missed it, Triple M rocking the footy for Reed. Triple M rocking your Sunday afternoon as we get you ready for this clash at Bankwest Stadium. For those in Sydney and in Brisbane listening to us on the app, it'll be on regular radio by the time we get around to this game, once the AFL is done. Score update, it's still 6-0 Cowboys over the Roosters. Wow. Low scorer there.
How long to go, Dan?
29 minutes.
Okay.
So the Cowboys...
Strange scoreline.
Holding on. Beautiful day as it is here on the Central Coast, and the conditions look absolutely perfect, but... the Roosters are struggling at the moment. Well done to the Cowboys on top away from home. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here and we will do, in case you missed it, Triple M rocking the footy for Maccas.
For McDonald's. Get your boots out! Triple M footy.
Okay, Triple M rocking the footy. Try to the Roosters, and they've just converted. So 6-all there, 26.5 to go. Roosters and the Cowboys. You got Gordy, you got Gerds. How was Melbourne last night, Gordy? That looked It was very elaborate, wasn't it? The whole Cam Smith 400 and the like purple lights.
What'd you think?
Geez, it was big. It was over the top.
Yeah, I loved it
was. It. But there you go. But as you boys just said in the break, no one will ever do it again, probably. So we might as.
So did you think it was a bit over the top there?
I thought it was.
Or it was.
Well, you were there, Gordy. So you tell me. You said it was great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, you know, when a boxer comes out and the spotlight's on him, and some, you know, are a little bit more elaborate. They come out and they've got, you know, like that. The bomber or whatever his name is, Deontay Wilder, you know, he comes out and he comes out. It was sort of a bit like that, but the lights were off and the respect that was there was sort of a bit eerie because it looked like Cameron was coming out of a nightclub out of Finney's in Newcastle. Yeah. The smoke machine was on and he...
Just a bit weird in a team game to have the spotlight on one person.
Yeah,
but... I'm not saying that's his choice at all. But...
No, do you know what? And it wouldn't have been Cameron's and he looked uncomfortable up there when he was getting all the awards. But when he walked out, to all those people that have helped him, it was pretty cool, mate. It was a pretty cool moment because we're such a humble game, Dan, that we don't ever want to put people up on pedestals. We always want to keep on bringing them down.
Well, no one can talk themselves up. Otherwise, they do get their heads chopped off.
Yeah, so, mate, I think it was really good to recognise someone that's did it. You know, I'm sure Cameron wouldn't have wanted it that way. I think he would have just run out and, you know, run through a banner and got off and had a beer with his mates. But it was a, it was actually cool being there. And when they turned off all the lights, because I haven't been to that Perth Stadium, how all the lights change and all that, it was pretty cool.
It was good. I think Cronulla need to be acknowledged amongst all this as well. I mean, they did wonderfully. They're trying to prepare for a game too. And after three losses, needed to go down there and get a result. They lined up. You know, they were very courteous in the way that, you know, obviously there's a bit of history between the two clubs. And I thought all that was really great, you know, before the game. But then after the game, they hung around the Sharks there. It was cold. And they waited for the presentation. So,
well, I'll say this. If we didn't do that, then we'd all be whinging, oh, my God, this bloke's got this amazing achievement. We did nothing. You know, we handed him a ball in perspex. Is that all we did?
And we witnessed it again today. And you just spoke about, you know, obviously Cam's day. It's Benji's day here today. And the impact that has on the team because what about the Cowboys today? Gavin Cooper's 300th game. They've come down playing in the Central Coast and they're leading the Roosters, the Premiers, with about 15 minutes to go.
Hey, I've got an impossible question. Impossible question.
In what way is it impossible?
Because
I know the answer.
Whose career would you rather? Cam Smith's, who could go down as the greatest, or Benji Marshall's, who was a hero and still is, but you know we know the impact he had on kids in particular for years and still does to some extent. I mean, they're both amazing
careers. You're right, it's impossible.
Impossible question, told you.
I don't have an answer for that.
Cameron Smith.
Did you like the...
Did you hear me? Cameron Smith.
I know.
He's won four grand finals.
I understand. I get you.
And 40 games for Queensland. And
well, he'll be in record books forever.
Yeah.
Did you... Okay, so we talked about the Cam Smith elaborate entrance. What about the Blues entrance on Wednesday? Do you
love
that?
Loved it as well.
Yeah,
Dan, I'm a cynic. It was over the top. Don't you think it was a bit over the top?
Didn't like it, Gordon?
No, mate, I thought it was fantastic. It's theatre.
Yeah.
Mate, it's entertainment. They walk through a tunnel. They walk past all the old players and, you know, it was all... Loved it. Loved every minute
apparently,
of it. But did the players like it?
Apparently they did because the tunnel, yes, it's long, but it's so deep that they couldn't hear anything. Until they got out onto the stadium.
That's really good.
And it hit them between the face.
Absolutely.
6-6 Roosters. Cowboys. Roosters almost scored again. They've just missed out. So tight there. Why don't we clear another break, Charlie? Let's clear another break. And then we will do In Case You Missed It because we had a lot of meat. We've got a lot of meat on that bone to get to. Triple M rocking your Sunday match of the day.
Triple M footy. Let's go! Hot water.
About half an hour away from kickoff here. West Tigers and Parramatta, both sides on the field. They're going through their warm-ups, or at least the backs are out there. I hope we get a crowd today. I think we might because they're starting to fill up at the tops of the stadium. And we've done a few games here now, gentlemen, and they do tend to come in late. So hopefully we get 20,000 plus.
And I'm just so happy that they brought in all the food now. Maroon's gone. Because he's whinging about it. It's actually made my day. You know, just small things. And sometimes it's the simple things in life.
Yeah, I think they were waiting for him to leave. And then they just ushered him in.
Yeah, mate, because he begged, oh, thanks for the bottle of water, the Roosters, and he's always having a crack at what they give him.
Yeah.
And then they brought in these little mini pizzas and, oh, it's fantastic.
Lobster Mornay, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm just so happy. And I hope he's driving now.
Let's
go into a takeaway shop and buying a buying some from
a Chico roll.
He's not a he's not man enough to eat a Chico roll. He'd buy a corn jack or something.
The Chico roll still exists.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Go to the Ipswich races, and I'll bet
they sell them at the. Oh, they go. You imagine at the after race eight when people have had a few. Roll would go berserk.
Mate, race two, I have four of them, and they sell them at the Brisbane Racing Club as well. I love them.
All right,
put the salt in there. Just you know, get the paper and move it around.
All right, let's do this
on Triple M Footy. In case you missed it, let's rewind a little.
Now, this segment won't do justice to the show. Terrific show, so make sure you get the podcast, listen to the whole thing. But Gerds and Gordy discuss what Jake Trbojevic should be worth.
Jake's probably a future captain. I think he'll take over from Cherry Evans at some point and lead that club.
Tamalolo's a million, you think Jake's a million?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think Jake's $1 million a year.
I think he's a rundown on Burgess and Tamalolo. I think he's a good player. And I think a club needs him,
yep.
But I don't think you break the bank for him.
Also, can I put this back to you, Gordy? You said that the Titans should build their club around Jai Arrow. He's the bloke you build a club around. Isn't Jake the same mould of player?
Yeah, same. But we got Jai Arrow, and he's not $1 million player.
No, I'm not saying Gold Coast. I'm just saying that sort of...
I'm just saying on what the top player is. You know, like if you get Cameron Smith, the number one hooker, and he's on... that well, you don't pay somebody else over the top of him, or if Cook's a new number one and he's on 800, you don't go.
I think Jake's got more skill than Jai. I think Jake's got more footy in him than Jai at this point. I haven't seen. I'm not saying that he can't do it, Jai.
Sure.
But I'm just saying at this point, he's a focal point. If you watch, you know, the way that New South Wales play, the way that Manly play, he's a focal point with most of the attack in both of those sides, and I think there's a lot of value in that. And you don't see that from Tamalolo, and you don't see that from Sam Burgess.
Well, their question, Manly, is do they break the bank for Cherry Evans, who they're committed to for 1.2 a year, Tom, and Jake? Now, the salary cap mightn't go up that much over the next few years. If everything we're reading about TV rights and they're about to plateau, if that is true, then the salary cap's not going to go up that much. That's a big decision for Manly to make. Do they, you know, spend 35% of their cap on three players?
A lot of risk involved in that. They need to find some third-party people out there, up there on the beaches. And the good thing is, like a couple of local juniors, you might have some people in the area, some successful businesses that put their hand up and might contribute to that. But
I could see Tom holding a cup of Girdler's grind for 100 grand a year,
yep.
Saying, that's my drink.
You know, I'd love to see Manly do well. I don't know if I'd like to see him do that well.
All right. Kenty rips Todd Green. Oh, we're back to Cam Smith 400. Kenty rips Todd Greenberg for taking advantage of the game.
Todd Greenberg was like Velcro last night with Cameron Smith after the game. Like, seriously, the NRL put on a special dinner for him.
Didn't you like that big Cody add-on?
I just thought, don't sit there and ride on the coattails. The NRL, they just disappear, won't be seen talking on anything unless it's a free hit. It's a free spin about positive publicity. So they just seem to have this innate sensibility. There's the cameras, there's Cameron. So if I stand here, I'll be in the background. I just think, you know what? Leave the game to the
players.
You're angry.
Oh, wow. Go Kenty.
He's the only man that hates Santa Claus. He boos Santa Claus, Paul, today.
I'll give you, he's consistent.
Oh, yeah.
He's consistent.
I just saw Todd out there. He's waiting for Benji's go, so he'll have another. He'll play another big party this afternoon. Get into it, Toddy.
If you missed the news from earlier, Jimmy Hooper broke the big story here on Triple M NRL.
Sorry to break in on a more serious note, but there is a bit of news that's just breaking as we speak right now. So Garth Brennan, it will be made official later today that he'll no longer be the coach of the Gold Coast Titans.
So there we go. And Brent Reed telling us about half an hour ago that Kevin Walters has officially ruled himself out of that job.
Gordon has just covered the room in mucus. Did you see that?
And he sneezed in our direction.
And did not cover, didn't put the elbow up, didn't put it in the hand, just let it all out. And they're a big set of nostrils.
But it's like, look at all this space here at Bank West. And he just went straight to our direction.
Yeah.
Listen here, Sergeant Pepper. Don't you come here with that jacket on.
It's cold. Oh, it's I'm not cold. That cold.
Well, you're like, wearing your hoodie.
Yeah, it's just a hoodie.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing a jacket. I got a t-shirt.
Hey, what is that? Like a duffel coat? Is that what they call it?
I don't know. A coat.
No, he spent a lot of time picking that. I only tried it on.
Is it dark blue or is it black?
It's dark blue.
I reckon he asked the assistant, how do I look in this?
Got an issue? No, you never ask this. You never, ever ask the assistant.
Yeah, you did.
You can never. You know why? Because what are they going to say? Nah, it doesn't look. They always say, oh, looks great. Looks great. They're in the sales business.
No, they normally upsell. I go, no, not that one. Come over to the more expensive one.
All right. Thank you for your fascination. Gordy calls BS on players being friendly post-game on the field.
I don't like watching my team lose, you know, and mate, whether it's a Queensland team or whether it's Parramatta, I don't think fans that pay there, that work all day in the sun, that go dig holes, to come and watch you play, and when you lose, you're getting a chin wag with the opposition and you sit there laughing in front of them on the field. I think it's bullshit that players aren't hurting after a loss.
Oh, get over it, Gordon. Let them have a chat.
What are you doing? Okay, so
what are you so angry about?
What if it's players, so they play on Wednesday night, their teammates on Wednesday night, then they're against each other on the Friday night? Are you okay with them shaking hands and having a bit of a giggle?
No. Do it in the tunnel.
Oh, so it's the public display. It's the...
Yeah, just do it off. Don't sit there and chinwag and laugh and that. You're supposed to be hurting after a loss. I remember when I was playing, right? And, you know, now they do review and it's the next morning. I was nervous. So if we played on Friday night and then the reviews on Tuesday, I was sort of building up to seeing whether I was going to get a spray on Tuesday or Sunday, Monday. Now it's straight away. The feedback's straight away. So there's no hurt anymore. I mean, like, there's not that long pause on whether you're going to get a rap. And if you play, if you play Friday night and you have a good win, well, you got that buzz going until Tuesday, until the coach goes, hey, listen, boys. Mate, we played okay, but we got this wrong. And then you go, oh, okay, well, let's go out there and train. That's what happens.
Okay.
And then I just think that, you know, some fans, mate, it's tribal.
Well, in your defense, I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Everybody.
Okay, all right. That was in case. We got a sponsor. How have we not got a sponsor for in case you missed
it? We have. Girdler's Grind.
Girdler's Boys, yeah.
Listen, why did you take away the grind? You keep on correcting.
Moving with the times. We're moving.
Well, because the name, it just stands on its own. Goal.
Yeah.
Didn't need the word grind.
I got married.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll start previewing this game in depth. Roosters have hit the front, by the way. Roosters
get married.
12. Cowboys sit. I want to get married at Girdler's Grind.
Girdler's
team. He's married now.
Let's take a break. We'll preview this game after the break. Triple M rocking the footy.
For McDonald's. Get your boots out. Triple M footy.
Yes, welcome back. Bankwest Stadium. Beautiful Bankwest where we are this afternoon. And the Cowboys have just scored. John Asiata has crossed and the try converted in Gosford. So it's now Roosters 12, Cowboys 12. Go with our second golden point game this weekend. There's only been one, hasn't there? The Brisbane Warriors game.
A couple of close ones, though. The field goal, obviously, separating Manly and South.
That's right. Wasn't that a
dog? That was the second time. Didn't they have it early in the year where Manly beat
exactly
South by 1 point?
Daly Cherry Evans kicked the field goal that time. Wasn't that golden point a dog's breakfast, the Broncos Warriors?
Absolutely.
So that's the sort of result.
Wasn't that ugly.
Probably favours neither. That's a bad result for both teams.
Yeah.
Because they need to get some wins on the board. Yeah. Amazingly.
No one wins in a draw.
No. Who do you think? Who do you think? Just let that wash over, people. Who do you think came up with the term, it's like kissing your sister?
Do you know?
Hey, I don't know. No. I have no idea. But it's just been around forever.
It has been around forever.
And you just know that someone has... Who came up with it, said it with experience.
It'd be one of those, I reckon someone like a Yogi Berra or someone like that.
Yes, he's come up with a million of those.
Gerd, you look at Yogi Berra, I think he's a famous baseballer in America. And
yeah.
And he'd just say 90% of the game is half mental. He'd just come up with both of that, and they'd ask him, you know, like you'd go to a restaurant and say, sir, would you like that pizza cut in 4 slices or 8, he goes, you better cut it in 4. I don't think I could eat 8.
Okay.
This is a fascinating game.
You make that up then, Gordon?
No.
Parramatta, 8 wins and 7 losses. Tigers, 7 wins and 8 losses. So they're both hovering around the bottom of the 8. Cronulla losing helps them both. North Queensland, if they can pinch this win against the Roosters, gets them up top of the up the ladder and tied with the Tigers. Whatever happens, this is a big one. Parramatta West Tigers. What do we make of the Tigers? Just sort of trudged along, haven't they? 7 wins, 8 losses. They've got Benji's 300th, so they've got some extra incentive today, whether that means anything. But what do we make about where they're at and how they're playing their footy?
I really like the way they played last week against the Roosters. They just got beaten on better cattle. But I think Madge's got some work to do, but most of the players are getting in the right slots. They just don't have the ability of the top-class sides at the moment. You know, like, they're still working on their salary cap, as what Kenny alluded to earlier. You know, it's about managing your salary cap, and that's what Madge has probably come here to do, to get the team that he believes is fit enough to go ahead and win a competition. But, you know, Madison's been going good. Robbie Farah's turned back the clock. Benji Marshall's been good at times. Mbai, I reckon that might be his spot in the centres.
Mm.
You know, I don't think he was brilliant the other night, but to control Big Tommy the way he is, and if that's a better sort of balance for the team with Corey Thompson back there, it's. I think the Tigers are hard to beat, but they're beatable. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give them the respect and be on your game, Gerds.
Been a good month of footy, and I was really impressed, Dan, with them last week. Came in here, obviously it was a night game, so conditions were going to be slippery on the foot, the ball was going to be slippery, and I was thinking, how do you adjust? Because we saw the week before when they played the South Sydney side, and they won that night, but the game was pretty Shocking ordinary. Game. So my expectations of last week and the Tigers was going to be something similar, but they spread the footy out of the backfield. Certainly when you look at their pack, I think they completed almost like 100% at half time against the Roosters, and they came back out in the second half, and for the first 20 minutes of that second half, they dominated that, and then we saw Manu from the Roosters go down and get taken off, and it was like, well, almost by how far the Tigers are going to go on with this, but, you know, the Roosters are the premiers for a reason, and Keary and Latrell Mitchell sort of got them out of trouble late, and they found a way to win. But if you look at their pack, and this is what I like about what Madge McGuire's done with the Tigers, in 2014, he really coaches footy sides to their strengths, and it was all about South Sydney and the way that they were so dominant through the middle of the field with the Burgess boys and Isaac Luke there at dummy half, and they just steamrolled sides and played with a lot of momentum, and they never really spread the ball there. They didn't have great outside backs at the time, but they certainly had that middle covered, and with Inglis there, they were dominant and they won a premiership doing that. He doesn't have the same sort of pack, obviously, at the moment with Aloy A and Twol, not, you know, big front rowers, but mobile. So the Tigers over the probably last month have really been spreading the football and putting those passes together, getting on the outside of the opposition defence and taking the space. And on the back of that, I think Benji's controlling the game brilliantly. He plays more like a seven, and Brooks just attacks. And his running game, I think he averages about 12 runs, the most for any sort of halfback in the league a week, and allows Benji just to do what he wants with the game management. And Luke Brooks there with his speed and power just threatens, especially down that right side defensively of the opposition. So well balanced. Corey Thompson seems to have, you know, found his hole there at the back. He's probably got to work on certain parts of his game where, you know, he's catch and pass, and he's you know, when he stands too wide out of shape there, making sure he nails those plays when he gets the opportunity. But his running game is brilliant, and he's always in the right spot at the right time. So, yeah, I guess they look at this side at the moment and say, well, how long are we going to have Benji for? How long are we going to have Robbie for?
Yep.
Who's going to fill those positions? And do we need it to happen this year? Otherwise, how far away are we?
So, judging from what you two are saying, they're limited, but they're playing almost to their limitations. Am I to take it that you think Parramatta is a better team, albeit not necessarily achieving as much as they should be?
Yeah, probably got a better roster slightly, you know, with Gutho and Moses and Dylan Brown and those alike. But it's it comes down to attitude a lot, I think, with both of these clubs. I think with Parramatta, when it gets into a grind, you know, they can find themselves sort of falling out of the contest, and the Tigers like to get into the grind, you know, but they probably come up with some, you know, poor options at times. But I reckon it's a real... Today you come here, and it's a toss of a coin. The last time the Tigers come here, it was a 50-6 or 51-6 or whatever it is. That won't happen today.
No, that was a special day.
Yeah, and then that was the first game. What was the first game?
First game at Bankwest.
It was a great day. Parramatta jumped out of the blocks, and I think Robbie Farah come off in the first 5 or 6
That's
minutes,
right.
And they just couldn't match it with them. But I think it'll be a different attitude today from the Tigers. I know Gerds is really keen on the warm up, and I thought that their warm up was solid today.
The Parramatta side, I mean, they welcome the Browns back in, Dylan and Nathan, and they make such a big difference to this side. And we know that Dylan's only played a handful of first grade games, but his calmness just seems to have this influence over Mitchell Moses, and it brings the best out in him because he knows that he's got Dylan there, and his game management can really help out in areas where sometimes Mitchell finds himself a little exposed. Nathan Brown, well, he's the leader of this pack, and his line speed is always tremendous. His work ethic is second to none. And he's got a lot of skill on the back of that. So they bring so much to this footy side. They've got two of the most powerful wingers in the competition in Sivo and Ferguson, and that's something the Tigers today are going to need to stop out of the backfield because Parramatta can do so much damage in those areas. Clint Gutherson, he carved the West Tigers up earlier on in the season. He's a guy that can just find space and gets the football where it needs to go. Other than Michael Jennings, Parramatta, for probably one of the first times this year, have almost got their full-strength side on the field. Now, they've had a really good run through this origin period, and they're probably looking at now this next 4 weeks where some of the more fancied sides who have had, you know, a lot of players represent at origin this year, they're going to start seeing the effects of the intensity of origin. It's not so much during that period you always get affected, but sides like St. George, and we've seen the effect it's already had on South and the Roosters and Newcastle. But in the next 4 weeks, when those guys then start coming down mentally and emotionally and physically, Parramatta now can put themselves in a really healthy position if they perform well here today. I'm with Gordy. This is a struck match.
Yeah.
I can't pick it.
They've got a good draw, Parramatta. They can, if they win this today, they can just start to set things up. They've got the Warriors here in a couple of weeks. They've got the Gold Coast. They've got Canterbury here. They've got Brisbane, who they slaughtered a few weeks ago, in amongst their remaining games. By the way, you want an advertisement for no golden point. We're seeing at the moment Roosters Cowboys. Basically, they've been in golden point mode for the last 10 minutes of regulation. It's just been a field goal-a-thon, 12 points all. Kronk missed one he'd like over. Cowboys went up the field. Jake Clifford then missed. Roosters went back up the field. Luke Keary missed a very gettable one. And then Clifford came back upfield and missed one from distance. So Cowboys, with a minute left after a Roosters error, look like they might get one of the last shots here. But the field goal attempt will be from about 30 metres out. Oh, they're happy they've got it. They've got it. So Clifford's nailed it. Third time lucky. Looks like the Cowboys, with 50 seconds left, might get that one. That's a huge result for them if they can.
That's massive.
That's one you don't pencil in as a potential win. The Roosters. He's nailed that from 30 out.
He put some fade on that one. He actually sort of looked like it was going to hook to the left-hand side of the uprights and then sort of faded back over the black dot. I mean, that's a moment for a young guy like Clifford that's just been sort of teetering on, you know, confident once week, you know, out of form the next. Something like that can just turn his whole career around.
All right.
Build on that.
So a few seconds left here. We'll have the full-time score on the other side of the break. But when we do come back, it is our game, and it should be a beauty. It's the West Tigers. It's the Parramatta Reels. There'll be a celebration for Benji Marshall's 300th. By the way, Roosters have kicked out on the full from the kickoff, so that is it. The Cowboys, unless there is a catastrophe, are going to win their 7th match of the season. So well done to them. Triple M rocking the Sunday match of the day.